Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday. Last four digits of the phone number are 6255, or through PayPal, SerenitySunday1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Debbie, compulsive overeater. This is actually my first live OA meeting back since the pandemic. So the screen, I'm used to screens. I've been on a lot of screens over the 3 years, but like, I'm like, oh, in person is a lot going on. So thank you, Alex, for having me be here. And as I was driving Park in Beverly Hills, and when I first came to program, I call it my auditing phase. It was about 12 years ago, just over 12 years ago, that I was auditing OA, checking it out here and there. And I, once a month, I had a different event over here at Roxbury on a Sunday. And so I was like, oh, there's that meeting, Serenity Sunday. And it was huge. And I would sneak in the back and, you know, some of the podium, I don't know. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I just did not like it. You know, OA was not something that I came to willingly. But I knew there was something here, you know. So all that to say, going back to kind of what it was like, like I said, came in 12 years ago. And what brought me here was that I had gone through decades of the same cycle over and over and over again, of whether it was focusing on food, focusing on body, bulimia, hating myself. You know, when I came in at the time, it was, you know, I was a newlywed. I'd been with my partner a long time, but like all I wanted was for him to go to sleep at night. And so I could be with my food and my TV and whatever else and just check out from the day. And when he wanted to like stay up and like, you know, I'll be with me, what a concept. I would just sit there in my head so resentful and just waiting for him to leave, you know. And then inevitably he would leave and I would, in my mind, not want to take a bite of that thing that I didn't want. But I would like do the trail of like, well, if I have this, then I won't have the other thing, but it always led to the other thing. And then I'd wake up, you know, demoralized and basically, what am I gonna, you know, I'm either want to hide in bed or I want to, you know, go for a run and run off the damage, do damage control. So, and that was decades of that. Like, I like to say I'm a bulimic because I started that when I was 15 and it was a big part of my history. And then as I got older, I just thought like, oh, if I can just stop the bulimia, then everything's okay. And there would be periods of where the bulimic behavior and all the things that go with it, I like to say, you know, it's like whack-a-mole. That's down, but the food's up, the restricting's up, I'll try this laxative or this fast or whatever, all of it, all to manage and control. Was just it was in another phase of just, I don't know what I'm going to do. And a line in the big book jumped out to me, and it's on the first page of chapter 4, We Agnostics, and it says on page 44, let's see, to be doomed to an alcoholic death, to be doomed to a compulsive eating death, or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. And without even knowing that this book had anything to do with anything, I was just like, I don't know, I guess this is possibly just my lot in life. Like, I'm literally saw myself fast forward to like 80, 90 years old and still, you know, like, this is just what it is. I'm never going to accept myself. It's always going to be about my body and my weight. And I come to it, honestly, I just spent 4 days with my father, who is getting medical treatments for what I, you know, has been alluded to are food related issues, you know, stomach cancer, end stage renal, kidney, you know, and things that could be prevented. And watching him, and he was at various times growing up, you know, we'd go down to the market and like get the fresh bread, you know, like crunchy stuff, like things that I think I was born into this disease from a very young age. And then I had different messages about myself, just as a human being, about my body. There was a lot of comments on my body, a lot of focus on weight, on looks, on not being enough. I mean, you guys can't see me, but I like to share that, like, one of the things that, you know, I have bow legs, and one of the things was always made fun of. And one of those nagging thoughts in my mind was always like, if I could just get hit by a car and have my leg reconstructed, then I would be okay. Thank you, John. And I share that like, that's how the self-hatred of this disease, like, it's just seeped in there. I don't accept myself for who I am. Even like, I don't accept myself for, you know, this ethnicity that I am. You know, the messages out there were just not helpful to me. And it all became internalized. Like, my way of dealing with all of that was food and exercise. And so getting to, you know, kind of alluding to, yeah, that again, that was just decades. That's all I can say, decades of that. Yay. And so what brought me to the rooms was my partner actually saying, you know, God, I wish there was something that he had found for me, for people like me. And 10 years prior to actually coming into the rooms, I had done a drive-by of an OA meeting, and they were reading this blue book that I was, you know, people were in a circle and reading it, but I peeked in. I was like, yep, nope, not yet, not for me, you know? And so I had 10 more years of experimenting to do. And so I knew to look up, you know? And so I found some meetings. And again, it wasn't something that I wanted to. I thought it was weird. You know, there were two meetings. The first meeting I went to, I think there were like two people, and they were reading out of the, doing 4-step questions. And I was like, why am I writing this stuff about like childhood stuff? And they're reading it to total strangers, you know, but I guess I didn't know where else to go, you know? So then I go to meetings, and I was sharing that I was like, I'm having dreams and I'm going to turn orange because I'm eating, binging on so many carrots, you know, and no one told me not to do it. No one told me to stop. No one told me that's wrong or it's okay. You know, because it's just carrots. And there was such a gift in that I didn't know at the time, in not being told, not being shamed, you know. And so, but it wasn't until I got a sponsor in this program. It was about 4 months in. I went to a convention because I was like, if I don't hear it, if I need it, a convention, my God, I'm out. You know, what am I going to get after these 12 steps? And I heard, you know, tradition 3 at that, which was the only requirement for membership, was a desire to stop eating compulsively. And that just hit me like a rock, because I was comparing my disease to everyone else, right? Am I an overeater? Am I, what is this? Do I qualify? You know, I don't have like weight to lose, you know, and just all those things that were keeping me out of program. And that was the one thing I was like, oh, I have a seat here. That's all I need. I had a desire to stop eating compulsively. And so also at that convention, I found my sponsor. She happened to be on a panel, and I called her and asked her to, you know, we started working the steps, and she's still my sponsor. I've gone through the steps many times with different step guides, but I've always maintained a connection with her. And this program, I had to learn about the disease that I have, an allergy, you know, to certain foods, certain food behaviors. And that was an experimental process for me, because again, I was so good at restricting. There were so many things that I didn't allow into my body for so many years, that to find that balance and to find what was a trigger and what wasn't was a little bit of a dance, you know. So, but it was through the process of working the steps that I was able to find that and get on a food plan, which also scared the bejesus out of me because I thought it seemed like a diet. But when the time was right, that's what happened. You know, I was ready. If someone had said day one, you've got to do this, I don't think it would have lasted for me. But then in going through the steps, finding a higher power of my understanding, you know, I didn't grow up with anything that was personal to me. I always felt like there's something out there, but one, what is it? I had a lot of judgments. How's that? The We Agnostics chapter resonates a lot with me. And so I think little by little, just finding like, oh, I can. The first thing that was suggested was write a want ad to my higher power. So I did. And when I read that and my sponsor was like, well, how is that your higher power? I was like, oh my God, really? Like I can have that? You know, I just didn't know. And so that was the seed. And over these years, that seed has grown and it's ebbed and it's morphed. It's had to change. And there's been periods where like, I don't know, you know, and that's okay. And currently where I am is with a higher power of my, whatever understanding it is today, is that I don't need to know, right? I don't need to have a specific, the name changes on any given moment, you know, like higher power, God, whatever, spirit, I mean, whatever it is, it's just me maintaining some sort of conscious contact with something that's not me. And it's like, I didn't know that food, like it says in our literature, was the solution to my life, you know, problems, you know, it was like that's what I was using it for, you know, but it was really just a symptom to the spiritual malady that I had. And so, yeah, with it's feeding through. Let's take a moment and see. For this, just keep going through the steps. Yeah, making a decision. You know, God is everything or God is nothing. Constantly going back to that for me when I'm in doubt. And I don't agree with things, when I don't like things, when life isn't going my way, or I see things out there, like, you know, what's my choice to be? That's been super helpful for me throughout the years in program. What else? That first four step was transformational for me. It was just a lot of the history that I've been carrying around, you know, talking about parents and changed relationships again, that I didn't think that this program had anything to do with. I always thought it's just my food. It doesn't affect anyone else, to stay out of my business. You know, those chapters later on, you know, about family afterwards. And, you know, I just didn't think that it had any effect on those around me. And yeah, I trained the people around me to treat me and be on kid gloves. And because I was super sensitive when they would make comments about my body or food or, you know, my weight or anything, watching my partner, you know, telling him like, hide this for me. Don't let me have that. Why did you let me have that? You know, like all this stuff where it does affect those around us. You know, I recently was on a meeting and I had this epiphany like, oh, it's the family disease. Was that?
Wait, 10 minutes gone.
Okay, thank you. That this is the family disease of compulsive eating. And it does affect those around me. And for so long, I was just like, it's just about my food. And my spiritual life. but where I go with that, it does start there. It starts with me having a connection with my higher power. And in doing that for me and having a daily practice, I'll just go into like how I work in my steps now, I guess, on a daily basis is I wake up every morning. I have what I call a daily steps process, where it's a written inventory. I'm surrendering everything that's going on into my to my higher power in a specific form, and then going through the steps systematically, and giving it to God. And then I sit and meditate for 20 minutes or so, and then I have some other spiritual reading stuff I do, and I go throughout my day, and things come up. I've built up muscles now, which I'm so grateful for, where I can course correct. If I'm having thoughts, again, I was just with my dad, and I'm watching him thinking, I'm doing the things like, if you eat that, the consequences of that are. And then I get to go, oh, right, it's possible that he's a compulsive eater like me. Right. And it's really hard. And there's a lot of grief in letting go of the things that used to comfort me, certain food things. I used to walk down, have to avoid certain aisles in the grocery store, because it was like, it'd be like running into a jilted lover, and there's true grief in this, because it's like my friend, my comfort, and so I get to catch myself and course correct and go to higher power, and how can I be of service to myself and then to others. I have that, I kind of repeat that practice later in the afternoon, surrender again, I get my inventory and meditate again. And then at night I send an email to my sponsor, gratitude and what I ate for the day. And then I get to just do it again. The gift of this one day at a time program, it's just mind blowing to actually live on that spiritual basis for me. The fact that I'm not ruminating about what I ate 3 weeks ago, what I'm going to eat in 3 weeks, is a miracle of this program, because that's what my mind was before. That's all it really, it was like, oh, GPS to that, and it's easier to focus on that than anything that was really going on in my life. I'm angry, let me just crunch my feelings away. Let me, whatever it is, let me soothe myself with whatever, And so, yeah, that's what this program has given me. If you're new and you're like, it's a process. It was a process for me, like I said, I wasn't like day one struck out, and this continuing to improve my conscious contact with a higher power is step 11. That's why I like to keep it like that. It's like, oh, I'm just improving, right? It doesn't need to be perfect. And there are times in program where my perfectionism would come up, am I doing program right? Or these other people seem like they really got it going on, like they can quote the big book back and, they're left and right. And I'm like, I don't know, it's somewhere in there. I've heard it. It's in here somewhere, and that's okay. And so for me, that's been the gift of recovery, is like, oh, I can let the reins off, higher power's there, as long as I'm tuning in. My food is, what it is. I'm not using food, and if that pops up, if that comes up, then I get to go, well, what is that telling me? Right. I have fellows, I'm my sponsor. I get to talk that through. I'm not alone. Come to a meeting, that for today is not my solution to, my problems, and that I can, feel feelings that are more than just anger and numbness, and, depressed. Those were like this, that was the spectrum before. And now it's like, oh, I can be flying away from visiting my dad and be like, wow, I feel sadness and grief, right? Like there's love there. I don't always know how to express it. There's history there. But I know that it's in my heart, and that's because of this program. I'm not holding on to past resentments of, quote unquote, what they did or didn't do, because, I get to take care of myself now and grow up. I've grown up in this program. So I guess I'm about 12 years old. If we look at 1 year as a, of abstinence every year, Yeah, so whatever a 12-year-old is, that's kind of how I feel in program. I think that's it. My time's probably pretty close. So
you have 3 minutes and 40 seconds left.
Oh, goodness. Wow. Well, I think I might just, offer that up to the meeting and hear other people's experience, strength, and hope. And yeah, so thank you.